Awesome. Well, good morning, Devin. So good to see you. If you're new, either in person or online, I want to welcome you. I'm Pastor Bert, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today. We just sang, I'm starting to notice that you're speaking. For the past few weeks, we've been discovering that God does, in fact, want to speak to us, and that he does speak to us. We're learning how and why he speaks to us, and that when he speaks, we need to listen, right? Not just listen, obey. Do what he says. The author to the early Hebrew church warns us to be careful and do not refuse to listen when God speaks. So it stands to reason that we should learn how to know when it's really him, right? When it's him speaking. If God gives us impressions, ideas, thoughts, how can I know when it's really from God? How do I know I'm not just talking to myself in my head, right? You ever do that? I love talking to myself. I love somebody interesting to talk to. So most often my thoughts are pretty much just my thoughts. But the wise King Solomon in the book of Proverbs tells us that there can be problems with just listening to yourself. He warns that what you think is the right road may lead to death. That's a good reason not to just listen to yourself right there, right? This tells me I should not just listen to every idea that pops in my head. That could be dangerous. I've been in there. There's some weird stuff. And I don't always know what's the right road to take, right? The Bible also shows us that there can be other voices trying to lead me down the wrong path. Jesus once said that the devil talks to us. He tempts us. He accuses us. And he lies to us. In John 8:44, Jesus said, "When he, the devil, lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." How do you know it's not the devil lying to you? Is there a way to test our thoughts? Or what someone else says we should do. Sometimes we watch or read something online, don't we? And the person's claiming that this is from God. How can we know? John was Jesus' closest friend and follower who warned the early church. He said, "Don't always believe everything you hear just because someone says it's a message from God. Test it first to see if it really is." There we have it, right? This text gives us a solution to knowing when it's really God. Now, this may not be a big issue if you're just trying to decide who you're going to have over for dinner after church. We're free if you're, in case anybody's wondering. But if you're wondering about something significant, maybe like who to marry, or a major career change. Those are major issues, right? When you want and you need to hear from God. And as we've discovered the past few weeks, help you in those things, to talk to you, to communicate with you, to have a relationship with you. How can I know when it's really God speaking to me? On your outline, after that verse we just read, 1 John 4:1, I want you to write down these two simple words: test it. Test it. The Bible says we must learn to discern God's voice. We've got to figure out if it's really him or not, right? And we're going to look at several ways today to test whether it's really God talking. And they will help you filter out what's not God. All of these points we're going to look at today are all interrelated. You can't pick and choose. Well, I got this one, but that one's no good, okay? If a word or impression does not pass all of these tests, you can be pretty confident it's not from God. All right? Any impression, any thoughts you get, you can just pass on them, okay? Now, right off the bat, let's get right into this. The very first test is that you need to look at is, does it agree with the Bible? Does it agree with the Bible? Okay? God will never contradict his written word. Won't do it. He will never tell you to violate anything in this book. God will never tell you to ignore or disobey anything that he's written. He doesn't say one thing one time and then something else another time. God is not two-faced. He's consistent. He's not contradictory. The early church historian Luke recorded Jesus saying that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. That means it won't change. Why? Because God is perfect. So he doesn't make mistakes that need to be changed. God had this book written to show us his heart and his character, who he is. In it, we discover his grace and his mercy towards us. We see his faithfulness throughout all the generations. We're introduced to his son, who came to save us from sin and death, so that we can be with him forever. If God ever changed, none of that could be counted upon. Most of what you are trying to figure out in your life is already right here in this book. So when you get a word, when you get an impression, when you get a thought regarding your life, look to the book. Now, just to be clear, I'm talking about knowing what the Bible says and obeying it. Right? I'm not talking about using it like a magic eight ball. Anybody remember those? If you do, you're old. If you don't know what they are, they looked like a little pool ball, eight ball from the game pool. It had a little window in the bottom, and you'd shake it up, and a little word would appear. They only had a few words in there because it was just a little rotating thing inside. But my friend had one of these, and growing up, we would ask all the important questions of life. Does Holly Anderson like me? Yes, I knew it. Woo! Right? Is my teacher an alien? No. Oh, she must be a mutant then. Okay. Should I skip school this afternoon? Maybe. Close enough. Right? The Bible is not a magic eight ball. You can't just ask it a question, flip it open, point, and find the answer. Okay? That can be dangerous. Let me give you an example. You might think, God, who should I vote for in the next election? And you flip it open, it comes to put your finger on Proverbs 11:25. The liberal person shall be enriched. Wow, that's surprising. But okay, God, that's how I'll vote. See how dangerous that could be? Don't do it. That is not how you use the Bible. You need to read it. You need to study it. You need to understand it. You need to know the context of what's being said, why it was said. Learn God's heart within the scriptures. His heart for protecting his children, for guiding them, for saving them. So the first test is to check things out in the Bible, okay? Does this feeling, this impression, this thought, the word I got line up with what God has already revealed about his will for me in his word? If it doesn't, throw it out. Don't even entertain it. Just throw it out. Secondly, does it assist me in becoming like Jesus? Jesus is the standard which we must measure everything we do. God says very clearly in the Bible that his goal for your life is to make you more like him. Make you more like Jesus. The early church leader Paul explained it like this to the church in Rome. He said, God knew from the beginning who would put their trust in him. So he chose them and made them to be like his son. And the church in Philippi, he wrote, in your lives, you must think and act like Jesus Christ. Okay, so how do you do that, right? How do I act like Jesus? Practical application, this can be found actually in what James told the early church. Let me read it for you. He said, if you have jealousy in your heart and fight to have many things, do not be proud of it. Do not lie against the truth. This is not the kind of wisdom that comes from God, but this wisdom comes from the world and from that which is not Christian and from the devil. Wherever you find jealousy and fighting, there will be trouble and every other kind of wrongdoing. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. Then it gives peace. It's gentle. It's willing to obey. It is full of loving kindness and of doing good. It has no doubts and does not pretend to be something it is not. I'm pretty sure that all the tests I'm going to cover today are all in this passage right here, folks. These are filters to help you test an idea, test an impression, test a thought, test a message. If you think you've been hearing from God, hearing his wisdom, but it leads to jealousy, it leads to selfish ambition, it's not from God. If you get an idea of how to make yourself look better than you really are, to achieve instant success maybe, recognition, wealth, pleasure, it's not from God. God doesn't give you ideas to puff you up, puff up your pride. In fact, he's into doing the exact opposite of that. He's more concerned about you building a humble attitude and a godly character because he wants you to become more like Jesus. So if that thought, that impression, leads you to live a life that's pure and holy before God, if it brings peace of mind and a desire to listen and obey God's voice, then it's probably from him. That's why we need to ask ourselves, does this make me more like Jesus? Is this something he would do? Am I modeling a Christ-like behavior by doing this? That's the second way to test whether you're hearing God's voice. Next thing you need to ask is it affirmed by my church family? Is it affirmed by my church family? You know, if God has genuinely spoken to you, you've got an idea, you've got an impression, he's going to confirm that for you. And he's typically going to confirm it through others. Those who are close to God, who know his word, who know his heart. The biggest reason people mess up in their lives is they try to live without any accountability to anyone else, without any support, without any counsel, without any guidance. Jesus designed his church to help one another when it comes to issues of life and godliness, especially. Paul told the church in Thessalonica, "You know that we treated each of you as a father treats his own children. We encouraged you, we urged you, we insisted that you live good lives for God, who calls you to his glorious kingdom. Also, we always thank God because when you heard his message from us, you accepted it as the word of God, not the words of humans. And it really is God's message which works in you who believe." So Paul here is saying that God speaks to us through godly people. We looked at this a couple weeks ago, actually, and you can find that on our YouTube channel, the church YouTube channel, if you want to look at that. But God also uses those same people to help us discern whether we are, in fact, hearing from God or not. King Solomon also wrote this. He said, "You can be ruined by the talk of godless people." I've been there. Anybody else? But the wisdom of the righteous save you. I've seen too many people try to live a Lone Ranger approach to following Jesus and end up struggling or even falling away. God never meant for you to make all the major decisions in your life on your own. Nor does he expect you to figure out all that the Bible says on your own. He wants you to get help, get advice, get direction from other followers as well, who are wise and mature in their faith. They will confirm, they will affirm what you believe you're hearing, or they will correct it. They'll help you make that choice. Because God speaks through his church, his followers. Next, when you think God's speaking to you, you need to ask, is this actually accurate to how God made me? Does this make sense, in other words? You see, before you were born, God had a plan and purpose for your life. You are not an accident, right? God made you on purpose for a purpose. You're here for a reason. That reason is to help fulfill his plan of the ages. And God designed you specifically to accomplish something towards that purpose. Paul told the Ephesian church, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God prepared stuff for you to do. And he prepared you to be able to do it. And he made each of us unique to work together to accomplish stuff that we can't do on our own, that we actually need each other to accomplish. This room is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. Okay, you're all sitting on what? Chairs, right? They have a design. They were meant to be soft, cushy, help you. Maybe too cushy. Don't fall asleep on me. But they're designed for a purpose, right? They're designed how they are for a purpose. This mic stand. Come on, work with me. This mic stand was designed for a purpose, right? To hold a microphone. Now, what if God... Or I thought God was saying to me, you know what? We need to step outside the box, and I want you to replace all the chairs with mic stands. That makes sense. I meant to sit on. Wouldn't be very comfortable, would it? Doesn't make any sense. Because the design of this is for its intended purpose. The design of the chairs is for its intended purpose. You were designed for an intended purpose. The design reveals the purpose. So when you go against the intended purpose that God has, it does not go well. It doesn't feel right. The same thing is true for us, designed in a certain way, right? Which can help us actually recognize our purpose. God gave you a unique personality, unique abilities, unique interests, unique desires. Some things you love to do, right? You just love doing them. Other things you're like, I do not want to do that. You hate doing that. Some people are naturally mechanical, right? They can fix anything. I've known people can't operate a screwdriver or a can opener. Some people love cooking while others burn water. You may be good with words. You may be good with numbers. You may be good with people. Or you may be good with technology. If what you're hearing or if the impression you're getting goes against how God created you, I'm pretty confident it's not from him. Paul explained this to the Roman church. He said, God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. God's voice will not contradict how he created you. B, if you ever sense a leading that's contrary to who you are, your personality, your talents, your spiritual gifts, ignore it, because I doubt it's from God. Now, could he be leading you into something new? Maybe, but you want to wait and test it along all the other stuff, right? Fifth test is this. Does it apply conviction or condemnation? This is a good one for us. Do you know the difference between the two? Conviction will always point the way to change. Always. Condemnation just makes you feel bad. It's its only purpose. Very simply, John 16:8, Jesus said that conviction comes from God. And in John 3:17, he said, God did not send his son into the world to condemn its people. He sent him to save them. So when God convicts you of something in your life, something that's not right in your life, it's always specific. Because he knows. He says, here's an attitude. Here's a behavior that needs to change. So you can grow up and become more like Jesus. God is very specific. On the other hand, condemnation is quite often very vague, very general. It basically says, you're bad, you're no good, you don't will never amount to anything, right? If you're hearing anything like that in your thoughts, it is not coming from God. It's a lie. Coming from the accusations of the devil. Making your own heart feel guilty, inadequate, and condemned. But John admonishes Jesus' followers that if our conscience condemns us, we know that God is greater than our conscience and that he knows everything. He already knows those things. Paul explains why in his letter to the Romans, because there is no condemnation for those who belong to him. I think that too many people mistake their own low self-esteem for God speaking. They listened usually to a condemning voice from the past. And they believed that. It could have been a parent, a teacher, coach, pastor, who told them they'd never be good enough. And they end up carrying that lie in their heart to rear its ugly head when they drop the ball. If you've asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and given him your life, then you are forgiven and free from the mistakes of your past, mistakes of your present, and anything you're going to do in the future. It's already covered. It's already dealt with. Any guilt you feel after that fact is not from God. Okay? John said, if we confess our sin to God, he will keep his promise and do what is right. He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all our wrongdoing. We're pure. We may not feel pure all the time. That's what we are. In God's eyes. Conviction from God leads to confession, repentance, and forgiveness. He wipes the slate clean. That means God will never tell you that you are useless or worthless. You are so valuable to him that he willingly laid his life down for you. How dare anyone tell you you're worth it? Final test I want to address today is, do I achieve God's peace about it? Do I have a peace? Maybe that passes the understanding sometimes. But if what you think you're hearing from God is confusing, it's not making any sense, sort of like the mic stand thing. It's not making sense because it doesn't line up with something. Something's not right. Maybe it's his word. In the Bible, it doesn't match up with the God that I see in the Bible or what godly people are telling me, maybe. It doesn't fit with how he created you. Those can be signs that that it's not coming from God, right? So Paul told the Corinthian church, God is not a God of confusion, but a God of peace. Or maybe you're feeling pressured. There's a hasty decision, right? Being forced to make a decision when you're not ready to do it. And it may be something significant. And you're feeling anxious about it. Then you can take some time and question that. Test it, right? Because that's not the way God works. He's not going to pressure you into something hastily. As I said already, he's already prepared you to accomplish what he wants you to do, right? There's not one single example I could find in the Bible where God told somebody to rush into some major decision. In fact, we're told to do the opposite. In his letter to the Philippian church, Paul said, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. This tells me if I have a big decision and I'm feeling pressured, I need to stop right there, get on my knees, talk to God about it, and wait and listen for his answer. It may take a while, but while it's taking a while, that's a great time to see what the Bible has to say about it. Maybe get some godly advice from somebody. Have somebody pray with you concerning the situation. I found that the biggest decisions often take some time for the right direction to come or for confirmation to come. But once they do come, there's a peace that seems to settle in your heart and mind. The Bible says God is patient. He'd rather have you make the right decision than a hasty decision. Luke even records Jesus saying not to be hasty when you're considering following him. Listen to what he said. You cannot be my disciple, my follower, my apprentice, unless you love me more than you love your father and mother, your wife and children, and your brothers and sisters. You cannot come with me unless you love me more than you love your own life. Essentially, is why he's saying you need to count the cost and not rush into even that, even turning your life to God. Make sure you really are ready to stop living for yourself. That you're ready to stop being selfish, basically. Are you ready to do that? Are you willing to start living for the purpose he created you? I believe if you honestly listen to what God is impressing on your heart, you will inevitably always come to the right decision that you need to give him your life. And if you've counted the cost, you've thought it through and you know what you need to do and you're ready to want to take that step today, I'm going to help you right now. So we all bow our heads together. You can just pray along silently with me. God will hear you and answer you, and he will accept you as his child. Just pray along with me. Dear God, I want to hear your voice. I want to do what you created me to do. I've been living my own way, and I now know that you made me for so much more than that. Please forgive me of my sin and selfishness, and help me to live for you from now on. I don't understand it all, but I believe that Jesus came and died to take away my sin, and he rose to give me a new life with him forever. I want that. I want to have a real relationship with you, Lord. I want to feel your love in my heart. I want to hear your thoughts in my mind. Thank you for hearing me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for making me a part of your forever family. I pray these things in Jesus' name today. Amen. Amen. As the musicians come back, if you did pray that prayer for the first time, giving your life to Jesus, would you please let me know before you leave today? Or you can fill in one of the Connect cards that's in the back of the seat in front of you there. Or you can online as well. You can, it's linked to the there's a link on the video as well as on our app that will take you to that. Because I do have some literature, I have some stuff that I'd love to share with you and help you as you start that journey with Him. Thanks again for joining us, folks. And I hope you'll join us next week. I'm going to turn it back to Cole.